not going to bother me at all. And if you get blessed by God, I want you to be blessed by God. There's so many miracles in the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. The greatest miracle, theologians across the board will tell you, was Jesus' resurrection. Obviously, raising Lazarus from the dead, the woman had her son raised from the dead, would be the greatest miracles that I could say you can do. Blinded eyes were opened, deaf ears were unstopped. The sun stood still. There's all these great miracles, and as Brother Samuel so amazingly spoke this morning, and I'm looking forward to more of that, Brother Samuel, in the future. But he was speaking about miracles and that we are miracles, and even though we don't think we are, we are. Because there's a lot of miracles that we overlook. There's a lot of miracles that we don't think are miracles but actually are. So today, we're going to speak about a miracle that we don't really think about too much. Just bear with me for a few minutes. Luke 15, 17 through 20, and I'll get you to sit down. Thank you for worshiping and seeking God. And when he came into himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's house, fathers, have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants." Today I want to talk to us with this title and this topic, the miracle of love. Well, I'll preach, I'll speak. I'm doing Wednesday night next couple weeks. I'm going to talk about blinded eyes and deaf ears. But the miracle that we need in 2024 is to understand the love of the Father. The love. I don't care what the neighbors, friends, family say, it's the love of the Father. So I want to talk to us about the miracle of love. Can we lay our Bibles down, lift up our hands? God, I love you. I praise you, God, and I worship you. I ask you, Lord, to move and to touch. Continue to dwell in this service today, God. Help me be a vessel meet for the master's use, God, that I can speak your words with your anointing that sets in hearts and minds of every heart and soul. God, speak to us today, God, young and old, visitor, saint, God. Every person that hears us, I pray, is spoken to and ministered, God, by you. Let me be obedient, God. Let me be sensitive to your direction and guidance today. God, everything that is said and done, let it be for your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I've said this before, but these altars are open. You will not bother me or hinder me, nor the flow of the service if you feel the drawing to the altar. These three or four scriptures that I just read to you is part of the story of the prodigal son. Very familiar. It's taught in Sunday school classes and preached in conferences. This is quite possibly the most famous parable in the Bible. But many people do not understand that this parable was not a Jesus original. Jesus did not first speak of this parable, but he used this parable. See, many times when Jesus spoke or told parables, he was actually telling an old story that rabbis would be teaching to young boys. Rabbis would use parables with a different ending. The rabbis would tell it in terms of the tradition and customs of society of that day. See, the story of the prodigal son was a story of a young man, a son, that had sinned by not honoring his father, thus breaking one of the Ten Commandments. We know, or many of us know, the story of the prodigal son is after a father would pass away, his inheritance would go to his sons. And the youngest son, either by rebellion or just maybe he's just a little bit different, went to his father and asked his father for his inheritance before the father passed. He went out and he had his inheritance. I don't know if he had a bunch of money, a little bit of money, but he got a little bit extra. And the Bible tells us in the story that he went out and he found some friends in a strange land. And he was hanging out and basically the party, they were partying and he was doing everything for everybody and he ran out of money. As he ran out of money, he was starving. And all of a sudden when he had no money, the friends started falling away. You can be the life of the party as long as you can finance the party. Everybody loves you when you can give them things and buy them things. That bar is awesome to hang out in until you can't pay your tab and the bartender don't like you no more. Go to the drug house without any cash and see how well that gets you. So we know the prodigal son has ended up in a pig pen and he is slopping pigs. And he actually starts looking at himself and thinking that hog slop looks pretty good. And the Bible tells us that he comes to himself and he starts realizing that my father has servants that are better off than I am. Maybe my father will just allow me to come in and just let me be a servant. That way I can have a little bit of decent food and maybe a corner in the barn to sleep. It's a whole lot better than sleeping with these pigs. But the rabbi tells the story that is not a good story. Kenneth Bailey, author of The Cross and Prodigal, explains that if a Jewish son lost his inheritance among the Gentiles, then returned home, the community would perform a ceremony called the kazaza. They would break a large pot in front of him and yell, "You are cut off from your people." The entire community would totally reject him. See, the rabbis would use the story of the prodigal son because as the prodigal son would find himself in the pig pen and he said, "My father's servants are better than I. Maybe I can go back to my father." This is before he ever gets home. He's thinking to himself, maybe, just maybe my father will allow me to be a servant because I'm not worthy to be his son. But maybe I can get a little bit of fresh bread and maybe I can get a blanket and a pillow and get a good night's sleep. That's all I am asking. And maybe if I get to my father, he'll allow me to do that. But it tells us the customs and what the rabbis would say that as the son would walk across the field before he got to the city limits or the town or the village line, that the people would run out to him and the people would not allow him to step foot in what is known as the community side. But they would stop him at the line and they would yell, "Thou art cut off from the people," and they would break the pot and they would condemn him and they would reject him. And as the rabbis would use this to basically scare the young men into saying, "Do not do anything wrong. You break a commandment, you're done with. You dishonor your parents, you're done with." It was used as a scare tactic. And yes, I believe you need to respect your parents and don't break a commandment or a law of God. Don't go out and openly sin. I'm not promoting that at all. You need to live a righteous and holy life to God. You need to do what the Bible says, good and bad and otherwise. But the Bible is Jesus is telling this story in the Bible. It tells us that the young man was walking up into the town. But in verse 20 of this story, he says he rose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This is very important. This is a very important part of the story because this is the part that the rabbis would say the young man, as he would walk a far ways off, the community would meet him at the border and the community would break the pot and the community would cut him off. Jesus said the community may do that. People may do that, but your father is going to meet you there, and the father is going to have compassion on you, and the father is not only going to hug you, but he's going to give you a kiss. What was happening here is the love of the father. The love of the father is this. Every day, I don't know how long the prodigal was gone. It may have been a weekend. It may have been a week or two, but every morning from sunrise to sundown, the father had to do his work and keep his eye on the distance. Because if the community had gotten to the son first, he would have been condemned. So the father said, "I love my son so much. I don't care where he's gone. I don't care what he's up to. But as soon as I see him coming over the horizon, as soon as I see my son coming back to me, I'm going to do everything I can to beat those that are going to condemn him." His father said, I don't care where he's at. The father didn't know. The son didn't have Instagram or Facebook. He wasn't posting where he was or who he was with or what he was doing. His father just knew he was up to no good. And the father knew he was doing some crazy things and some dumb things. But I'm telling you, the love of the father is so strong. It's so strong. He says, I don't care where he's coming from as long as he comes back to me. We need to have an understanding, church. And I'm not condoning going out and sinning Monday through Saturday and coming into church Sunday thinking you're saved and holy and righteous. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm just telling you right now that when the world has condemned you, and yes, maybe you have condemned yourself, there's the love of the Father that says, I don't care who's condemned you. I don't care what society says. I don't care what your own mind is thinking. Just come home. Just come back to me. Just come back to the love of the Father. Because it doesn't matter how far you've gone to. As soon as you turn around and come back to God, the love is still there. We don't come back. We don't go places. Well, what they're going to talk about me. They're going to say things about me. I don't look like they look. I don't talk the way they talk. They know the mistakes I've made. They know the things I've done that I can't measure up to everybody else. It doesn't matter if the son measured up to the society and what the community thought. He measured up to his father. His father loved him. We need to understand, you may be sitting here thinking you have nobody in life that loves you. You have nobody that cares for you. You think you're all alone. You don't know what to do because you really don't know where to turn to. I'm telling you right now, you can turn to the Father. Amen. I've made some mistakes and I've lost some friends and there's some people I don't associate some of it because I've separated myself to them, but there's some things I've done to people and I can hand a microphone and we all have those people that we've separated from either on our behalf or their behalf. But we must understand that I can always go back to the Father. I can always go back to the loving arms of the Father. No matter how my week has been, no matter how conversations have gone, no matter how many friends and family I've lost, no matter the hurt, pain, and sorrow I've gone through, whether it's because of life or it's because I've done something on my own, I always have a place to go that I can find love. Old song, what the world needs now is love. What the world needs now is love. The church needs to be a place that the Father can dwell. Because these doors are meant not for us to walk through, but for lost souls to walk through. This is a place for the hurting to come in and find love. There's nothing greater. Come on, spouses, there's nothing greater than you come in having a hard day, something going wrong, you get bad news, and being able to go to your spouse and just get that hug. Because that hug is strength and peace when the world around you is crumbling. We must understand that the love of the Father has no boundaries. The love of the Father has no ending. There's no levels of love. He loves you. He loves you on the good days and he loves you on the bad days. He loves you when you're right. He loves you when you're wrong. We must understand he gets mad at us and he doesn't want us to do what we do sometimes. He doesn't want us walking in the world, but his love has never failed us. His love has never changed. He doesn't love your brother more than he loves you because your brother wears a suit and you don't. He doesn't look at what you did last night and say, well, I loved you yesterday, but I don't love you today because of your past. He just simply says, I love you. If you keep going in this story, 21 through 24, it says, and the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for thy son was dead. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of the grave. He once was dead, was alive again, and he was lost, and now was found. And they began to be merry. I'm here to tell you the prodigal was as low as can be. When you look in at Jewish history and Jewish customs, they were forbidden to have anything to do with swine. No pork. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. But watch this. The prodigal was so broken, was so messed up, he was serving what God had forbidden. We get so lost in the world that we become a slave to what God has already condemned. And I'm not just talking about a sinner. I'm not talking about somebody who's not been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking from pastor, bishop on down. We get to the point that we're not careful. We'll start serving things outside the church. But when that son, I don't know, maybe they had showers back then, I don't know. But you know that son, according to the scripture, tells us that he was in a pig's pen. The next thing we see, he's walking over the horizon to his daddy. That means when he hugged his father ran up to him and hugged him and gave him a kiss. He stunk to high heaven. He had dirt. He had slop all in his toes. But the father didn't walk up to him and say, "Boy, you stink of what's going on. Oh, man, you smell like pigs. Have you been around the swine? What are you doing with the swine?" His father had no mention of that. His father had no worries about that. He says, "I don't care where you've been. The love of the Father is greater than where you've been to." He was just so joyous that he came home, that the father didn't ask him where he was. He didn't ask him what he was into. He didn't ask him if he was taking care of the swine, something that was forbidden by Jewish law. He didn't care where he was. All he cared about was his son was coming back home. I'm telling somebody today, you need to get yourself out of the pig pen. You need to get yourself out of the slop of this world, because there is a Father in heaven that loves you so much that the... And I know it's everyday preaching, but somebody needs to understand. You're looking for a miracle in your life. You need to understand that there's love when you don't think somebody can love you. There's love when you don't think somebody cares for you. There's love that passes all of your mindsets and all of your thinking, because there is a God that loves you more. I know it's hard for somebody like me, and I'm not patting myself on the back, but I come from a very loving family. Loving. My mom and dad have been married almost 48, 49 years. Still together, apostolic. Most of my family's apostolic. We love each other. Before we started attending this church, we were good every Sunday after Sunday school at our last church. After church, we'd go to my parents' house and have lunch. Hang out all day until Sunday night service. But there's been times that I felt all alone. And I struggle with the fact of whether people love me or not. Been married 22 years. Love my wife. Strong, strong marriage. I put our marriage up against a whole lot of other people's marriages. But there's still times you're like, man, I just... But I know I can close my eyes. And I can call upon the name of Jesus. And I can just feel the love coming into me. And in that moment, I understand what love is. Because when she's mad at me, I know she still loves me, but she's mad at me. I know she loves me. There's sometimes I don't want to walk up to her. But I know I can go to God. I can come into the church and I can just sit down in my seat and just go through the valley of the shadow of death and every other place you want to call and think of. But I know always that when I call upon the name, there's love. We're looking for power and we're looking for authority and we're looking for the heavens to come down and we're looking for that strong voice and the thunder and the lightning. Well, we need to understand that when we call upon the name of Jesus, the greatest miracle he gives us is simply his love. Because we don't always need the thunder and the lightning, and we don't always need the loud, strong voice and the trumpets to sound. most of the time, and maybe my life is different from your life, there's sometimes I just need to feel the love of the Father. There's sometimes I just need, as I feel all alone, that I could just feel his loving arms wrapping around me when I can't get to my wife to get a hug, or I can't sit down with some brothers in the church and start talking to somebody. I know that when I'm in my car, or I'm at home by myself, or I'm outside or something, I can still call upon the name. There's a Father that loves me. I don't have to worry about my mindset. Get myself in a bad mood and I just flat hate everything and everybody, and the grass is too green and the wind's too strong and the trees are too big, and get all of that. I could just close my eyes and call upon the Father, and I don't have to be perfect in that moment. I don't have to be right with the world at that moment, because there's a time I just need to feel his love. And what the Father did was he did not put his son out to be the servant, but he put his son back to where he needed to be. You want to get right with God? First start by finding his love. And he'll put you in your order. He didn't tell his son to go out into the fields and go out and take care of the pigs or the hogs, the goats or whatever they had on their farm. He didn't have to go out and garden, pick fruit or vegetables. But as the father and son were together, he said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and the best ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. See, the son had all of this and he walked away from it. See, sometimes we take God for granted. And we see Brother Zach getting blessed beyond measure, and we think, where's my blessing? Why don't you love me? Sometimes it takes you going out to the hog pen. It takes you going out to the strange town and the strange city to find out that just the fact that you were in his presence is all the love you needed. We should be rejoicing with our friends and our families and our churches as they're being blessed by God. But understand that there's a love of the Father that is everlasting. 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Hearing thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth shall have wars. Let me break this down. God is looking for you. The whole earth. Not just in Jerusalem. Not just when you're in the church. But he's looking for you when you're in the pig's pen. He's looking for you when you're in strange lands. I don't care how far you think you are from God. His eyes are always looking out for you. But we have to be right in our heart. I'm not perfect in your heart. Right in your heart that you want to get back to God. Because if you want to hide from God, you can't hide from God. Even if you say, I just want somebody to love me. I just want to feel love. That's a beacon in the dark for God. There's my child. I'm going to love you. There's my child. I don't care where you are, I'm going to bring you back home. We need to understand. Come on, I know. We'll jump a shout next time I preach. I'll get you there. But we need to understand that the Lord has not left you. The Lord has not forsaken you. The Lord is always looking for you. It doesn't matter where you are. He's looking the whole earth. He's looking in the hog's pen. And he's looking in the bars. And he's looking in the shadows. He's just looking for you, waiting for you to cry out to him. Waiting for you to get your mind right to say, God, I need you. Because he'll pull you out of those lands. He'll pull you out of the darkness. He'll pull you. And I'm not talking about just sin. I'm talking about depression and anxieties and fear and worries. I don't have to worry about going into a bar and getting drunk. I'm not going to the drug houses no more, but I get myself in spaces in my mind, and I get some times in my heart that I'm not in the right place with God, but I know that when I call upon God, that the love of the Father is stronger, and it's what I need to get myself back out. Psalm 61, 1 through 3 says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." Come on, who's overwhelmed right now? "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for that has been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." See, when you get back and you feel the love of God, you enter a strong tower. The Bible says, "Where the righteous go in and are saved." I'm talking about when you get into the presence of God and you feel his love, there's a peace that passes all understanding. When you get into the presence of God and you feel his love, there's strength in the times of weariness. There's joy in time of sorrow. There's peace. There's an understanding. There's power and authority. But most importantly, there is love. We must understand that this world cannot give you love. The world cannot give you love. Because the world will like you and love you. I'm not contradicting myself. Until you stop giving them what you can. The prodigal had friends until he ran out of money. Then he had no friends to say, "Hey, you can bunk on my couch until you get yourself on your feet." That's not love. Love is when you stink to high heaven. Love is when you've been serving things that God has forbidden. Love is when you don't get judged by the Father. And he hugs your neck. Says, "I don't care where you've been, but I know who you are." Love says, "You stink, but I still love you. You've been serving the world, but I still love you. I know you're down and out and you might not be in the right frame of mind, but I still love you." The love of the Father is a miracle. Because the love of the Father can cause a miracle to take place in your life. Because he can change a situation and a circumstance that you cannot do on your own. That son was not walking into the father's house and picking up a robe and a ring and putting it on his own hands. He was not walking through the town without his father being with him to accept him before the townsmen got to him and condemned him. We talk about, if you can do it on your own, it's not a miracle. Okay? It's not a miracle for Brother Zach to pick up a chair. He can pick up a chair. But there's some things in Brother Zach's life that he can't do no matter how bad he wants to do it. And if it gets done outside of his capabilities of doing it, it is a miracle. So for Brother Zach to be the prodigal and to walk into his father's home and put the robe on and the ring on and say, "Put the fatted calf out there, let's party, because I came home," that's not on him. That's on the father. But you can get back to where the father wants you to be. Because a miracle is happening because of the love of the father. The love of the father passes all understanding. There's a saying, there's people, you don't have to like him, you have to love him. So we use, the church has really gotten this messed up because we want to condemn a lot of people. We want to use that. No, God doesn't love everything you do, but he loves you. I love the phrase, "Love the sinner, hate the sin." I don't care what you did before you walked into this church. I don't care what you did last night, last week, or last month, or last year. I don't care where you've been. I don't care if you stink in a spiritual sense. I don't care if you stink in a natural sense. if you're ready to get close to God, if you're ready to feel love that you maybe you've never felt before, I'm telling you right here, there's a Father in heaven whose name is Jesus that is just waiting. The scripture says he's looking. He's searching the crowd even here today saying, who is going to call upon my name? Who is going to reach out for my love that is never ending? My love that will never fail. My love that will never change. Who is going to be the one that I can wrap my loving arms around today? You must understand that God's love is never failing. I don't know what you're going through today. Maybe you're not going through anything and I'm wasting your time. There's going to be a day that you're going to think about this. There's going to be a day you're going to be sitting in your home and be sitting in your car and you're going to think, man, I really wish somebody would just love me. But instead of searching out there for love like the prodigal did, instead of going out there and trying to figure out who can love you, you think about the one that will love you no matter what. You got to think about the one that will love you no matter what. It's very important that we understand that it's the love of the Father that can make a miracle in your life. Because there's a love that never fails. It's a love that it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been through. No matter the highs or lows of your life, the cares of this world will not change his love for you. Maybe you're questioning, is God even real? He still loves you. Because when he died on that cross for man, he did not die on the cross for a certain person, but he died on the cross for all. He died on the cross for those that believe and don't believe. Those that are in good standings and those that are not. He died for the lost as well as the saved. He died even for those that yelled, crucify him. He died for the Pharisees that lied against him. He died for Pharaoh and them that turned their back on him. He died for his mother. He died for his friends and disciples, but he died for all. Because the love of the Father passes all judgments. The love of the Father is immeasurable. He knew us. Brother Samuel speaking this morning, Jeremiah 1:5, he knew us long before we ever took our first breath. He knew the mistakes we were going to make. He knew the trouble we were going to get ourselves into. He knew the trouble that was going to be caused. He knew if we were going to walk away from him. He knew the bad parts of our lives. Even though he knows all these things, that if you was to sit here and spill your guts to everybody in the church would probably get up and walk away from you and judge you and condemn you and all of that stuff. Maybe rightfully so by men's standards. There's still a God in heaven that says, I love you. So today, if you're not feeling loved, as the words have already been spoken, his arms are open waiting. God has already spoken to us this morning that he is already here. His love is already here. We just have to receive it. I cannot preach God. He already spoke. Today, as we close, there's people in here that you can put on a fake smile. You can have a 30-second conversation with Pastor and have Pastor think that everything's all right in the world. I always say that apostolics are the greatest liars there are. Go to a conference. Hey, brother, how you doing? Man, if I was any better, I'd be in heaven. You and your wife got in a fight on the way to church. The kids yelled at you. They hate you. Your car broke down. Your dog died. You just lost your job. But you go to a conference or you see somebody, man, everything's great. I know how that is. I know what it's like when you got to put on that fake smile because you don't want people worrying about you or wondering about you. I know what it's like to fake going, you know, you got to fake it through a family gathering because you don't want anybody asking questions. You go into a church and you don't want to bear any, you know, worry anybody. You surely don't want to tell everybody what's going on. But I just need to convey this to you today. The love of the Father is here. The love of the Father is here. I don't know your background. I don't know what's going on. I'm friends with a couple on Facebook, but you, I don't know. I just don't. I don't get involved with things. I'm not a part of a text group or anything like that. I don't know. I just need to know. I need to tell you the love of the Father is here. To those that you don't feel loved or you don't deserve love, I'm telling you that God's love is here. You don't know if you're good enough to be loved. It doesn't matter. God still loves you. Am I worthy to be loved? It doesn't matter. God still loves you. What if I don't fully believe in God's love? He died on the cross for you as well as he did the believers. God loves you. I don't know your backgrounds. Don't know a lot of your names. Pretty bad, but I don't know a lot of your names. But I need you to understand the love of the Father is here. You're wanting to see blinded eyes open. You're wanting to see deaf ears unstopped. You're wanting to see the dead raised. Why don't your first miracle in your life is to understand that somebody really does love you for who you are. You don't have to show off to somebody. You don't have to give anything to anybody. You don't have to pretend to be something you're not. You just simply have to walk up here and say, God, even in all of my brokenness, all of my heartache and trouble, all of my doubts and fears, God, I just need you right now, and I promise you as much as I can, under the authority of the Holy Ghost, God will just saturate you with his love. I'm not telling, this is going to be bad coming from the pulpit. I'm not even preaching to repent, be baptized, and fill the Holy Ghost message right now. I'm just telling you right now, if you need to feel the love, not what can I offer you to get you to love me? Because we can't offer anything to God that says, oh, I love you. You can't wine and dine God. You can't give him anything, a bouquet of flowers or a pair of shoes to get him to love you. All he wants is for you to just come home. Just go to him. He doesn't care. He didn't care where you've been, what you've done, how you feel. See, the prodigal said, I'm not worthy to be a son. I'm not even really worthy to be a servant. So he didn't have, I'm the son. I deserve. Even if you don't think you deserve it, just come to him. He'll mend your broken heart with love. He'll give you peace that passes understanding with his love. And when you feel his love, then yes, you'll want to know more about him. You'll want to be more with him. Because sometimes it takes leaving to find out what you left is something that you need. Sometimes you never know what you miss until you start missing it. I want somebody to just embrace this today. If you need a miracle in your life today, start with God's love. Seek God's love. Seek his hand. Seek his love. Because your story doesn't have to end being condemned by this world. Your story doesn't have to end. The parable was a story. And why the rabbi said, you should be condemned. Jesus says, I love you. Maybe you've condemned yourself. I'm telling you, God loves you. Maybe society is, social media is leading you to believe that you've done too much, you've gone too far. And even though you're serving what God has condemned, when you come back to him, a miracle will take place because he'll still saturate you with your love. But today, I can't give it to you. Today, I can't. I just can't. It's going to take the prodigal. I was thinking about this years ago as I end. Well, I was preaching about the prodigal, about those that are out in the world. I never understood why we preach about the prodigal when everybody in here is not a prodigal. It's like preaching to the choir. But God struck me with something. We have so many prodigals sitting in the pews. You can show up every Sunday till the Lord comes. You can put your $5 in offering and your 10% in your tithe. But if you do not have a relationship with God and you do not seek His love, you're in trouble. You must have the love of the Father in you. So while this message I know is online and there's some that are going to hear this, I want to speak to the church today. I don't know where you are. I don't know your personal lives. I know some are dealing with heartaches and troubles. I don't know what you do on Fridays and Saturdays or Tuesdays or Thursdays, but I'm telling you right now, the love of the Father is here today. If you're a visitor here today and this is your first time at this church, thank you for being here. I believe it's an honor I consider it an honor to preach to you today, but I need to let you know, I don't know what the world has offered you, but has not offered you unconditional love. But I know a man named Jesus that will give you the unconditional love that you've been searching for. These altars are open right now. As the word was spoken, He is here. His arms are open wide. We must just accept it and receive it. Accept it. Accept the love of the Father and watch a miracle take place in your life. It's unconditional. It's everlasting. It never fails.